Good morning. We're going to look at Galatians, the first chapter today. So if you have your New Testaments with you, turn and look at, turn and open up to the first chapter of Galatians. I appreciate Daryl doing the scripture reading and giving some of the background and so forth from the setting of Galatians. The churches in Galatia were founded on, or many of them were founded on, Paul's first missionary journey in the late 40s. And the occasion of this letter would be just a few years later. He had a deep love for these congregations that he helped establish. And I'd like for us to look at the first chapter today. Yes, there are some things that are unique to them, but a lot of what Paul is writing to them, it could be written today to us. Amen. You know, and not every circumstance, not every individual name that's mentioned or whatever is us. But we can apply those messages to us today. Verses 1 through 5 deal with Paul's greeting. And Paul would always start his letters out. And if you remember, Paul wrote in the form of letters. And there was always an introduction. There was always a greeting. You know, and they were usually much more elaborate than the ones I'd write to my grandmother. Dear Mama, how are you? I am fine. That was the way I started out my letters to Mama. How are you? I am fine. You know, but his were a little bit more elaborate than that. It starts out in verse 1, it says, Paul, an apostle. He wanted, not wanted, but it's a reminder. This is who is sending you this letter. It is a personal letter, but don't forget, I'm an apostle. And the things that I'm saying are good for you and needed for you. And he goes on, Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man. I'm not, you know, men didn't appoint me an apostle. I wish some of you could have been with me on that road to Damascus that day. You'd have seen how it occurred. But instead, through Jesus Christ and God, the Father, who raised him from the dead, that is who established my apostleship. That is where I got my title from God and Jesus. And all the brethren who are with me to the churches of Galatia. And like Daryl said earlier, Galatia was a region. It would be as if he sent a letter to the Las Vegas Valley. And we get it. And then we would read it and go over with a fine-tooth comb probably more than just once. Could you imagine getting a letter from Paul? You just don't read, oh, okay, we're going to put it aside. Next. You would study it. Now, what did he say there again? And they would go over it. And then that letter would maybe be sent down to the Christians that meet at Victory Road congregation. And they'd do the same thing. And then they'd send it over to Oki. And they'd send it over to Bright Angel. And it'd make the rounds in this region coming from the Apostle Paul. Well, he sends it. This is not only from Paul, an apostle, but all those brethren who are with me. We are writing you. It's from us. To the churches of Galatia. And he starts out, how are you? I am fine. He's giving them grace and peace. He says, grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. That kind of peace can only be had from them. That kind of peace is only available through God and the Son. We as man search for peace in our lives. We think, if only this would happen, if only I get that promotion at work, I'd be happy. I'd be at peace. If only I could get over this cough. If only I could do this, things would be good. This kind of peace is only from God and Jesus. That's the only source that we can get it from. Grace and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins. That's where we get that peace, because He gave Himself for our sins and He rose from the dead. He overcame death that He might deliver us from this present evil age according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. That is the opening. This sets the stage for what He's getting ready. This in of itself, if He just signed off Paul, that's a letter right there. But that's the introduction. That's His greeting. It's from me, an apostle, and your brethren who are with me. Grace and peace to you from God. And He goes into what God the Father and the Son did. We see that everything comes from God and Jesus. The grace, the peace that we have, they're the origin of that peace. And all praise and glory goes to them.
Amen.
Not us, not Him, not Paul. I tell you, if the Apostle Paul walked in right now, it'd be kind of tempting to not kind of elevate him up a little bit. Yes, he was an apostle. He doesn't get praise. He doesn't get, we give him honor for the servant of God that he is. But all praise and glory goes to God, the Father, and Jesus, His Son, for what they did for us. That's who gets the glory and the praise. Not man, not Paul himself. And that's coming from Paul himself. God and Jesus, they get the glory. They get the honor. Then we get in verses 6 through 10, an issue that was prevalent in the church at this time. The issue was that for people turning to Christianity, they've got to uphold the law of Moses. That was the issue of this. That you've got to be observant Jews. You've got to be circumcised. You've got to keep this feast, that feast. That even though Gentiles by now were very prevalent within the church, you've got to uphold the laws of Judaism. Paul's addressing that issue. And he says in verse 6, I marvel. I'm amazed. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from Him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. It's just been a couple of years. I know you guys. I established the congregations there. I know who you are. And I'm surprised. As he says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. And goes on to say, which is not another. There's only one gospel. There's only one true gospel. Which is not another. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. And he goes on to say, but even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. If I myself, Paul, come back to you and I preach something that's contrary to what you had originally heard, that doesn't jive up with the truth, don't believe it. He says, even if we are an angel, preach anything that's different. Let them be accursed. There's only one true gospel. Then he repeats it. And as we have said before, now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men? And I'm glad Daryl backed up to this verse. Probably should have started in this verse in the reading. For do I now persuade men or God? Is the things that Paul is doing, is it for men? Is he being led by men and inspired by men? He's being led by God.
Amen.
Or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. If I was to please men, I sure would not be going through the things that I'm going through.
Amen.
I would not have the hardships, the persecutions. If I was going after to please men, you've got to be joking. I would not be doing what I'm doing if that was the end goal. I'm a bondservant of Christ. A slave. I'm bound. I have to serve Christ. We see in this passage, there's only one true gospel. There's not, and you may have heard this in your walk in life, there's not the gospel, the health and wealth gospel. Turn on your TV any Sunday. I don't know, I refer to them as those slick willies. Refer to them as a few other things too, but we're not going to go there. The health and wealth gospel. Follow me. You'll be amazed. The supernatural, this is an actual quote I heard. The supernatural debt cancellation that will come into your life. I followed and all those debt was wiped out in my life. It's not the health and wealth gospel that's the one true gospel. It's not the just love gospel. All you got to do is love. All we want to do is love and be a family. Just be a good person. That's good enough. That's not the one true gospel Paul's talking about. The don't judge me gospel. Who are you to judge me? Don't judge me. Don't tell me what to do. That's not the one true gospel. The no such thing as absolute truth gospel. Have you ever heard that? Oh, we're all, you know, there's no real truth. What's truth for you is okay, but what truth for me is okay. We're all getting the same place, just different paths. There's no absolute truth. That's not the one true gospel. It's not the truth changes with the times gospel. That well, that was just for that time. Doesn't apply to us today. There's one true gospel. And he goes on and he basically is saying, woe to anybody that preaches anything different. Anything different than what, if it contradicts the original teaching, don't believe it.
Amen.
And he says, I serve Christ. I'm not serving men. I'm not here to please men. Although many men were pleased through Paul, many men benefited through Paul, but that's not my reason. I'm here to preach God. I serve God, not man. In verses 11 through 17, Paul defends his apostleship. It was a little tough that he used to persecute the church. There's a lot of people that might have the attitude, well, who are you telling us? I'm an apostle. I didn't come up with it off of my own. Verse 11 says, but I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. I didn't come up with it on my own. Somebody else didn't give it to me. I got it through Jesus Himself. And if you think you were shocked, should have been me on the road to Damascus. If you think this is shocking to you, you should have been in my shoes when I received it. For you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. And I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through His grace to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Paul was called and taught by Jesus, not man. He's not serving man, he's serving God. He answers to Jesus and to God, not man. And even though we were talking in Bible class today, in one hand we're accountable to each other, but we don't really answer to each other. We answer to God. We answer to Jesus. And on that day, it's not one of our brethren that's going to be saying the yay or nay for our salvation. That's not who we have to please. That's not who we have to convince of who we are. We make the confession about Jesus. We put Jesus' blood on in baptism, not each other's. And Paul, not only was he called and taught by Jesus, he answers to Jesus, not man. And he left his past, both good and bad. We've done that. We've left our past. He left some things that were good. He was a rising star in Judaism. He was a Pharisee. He was well respected. He left it. He was one of the big movers and shakers against the church, standing up for what he believed Judaism was the right thing to do. He left it to preach Jesus. And he left the bad. He left the idea that he was persecuting the church. He repented and went the other way, fulfilling his duty to God. We're doing the very same thing. We've left our old life, the good and the bad, hopefully to serve and to preach Jesus. And in verses 18 through 24, we see him dealing with his past. Do you ever have that issue in your life where the past rears its head and you have to deal with it? Every one of us have to deal with our past. The good and the bad. What it is we've left. Good and bad. Verse 18. Then after 3 years, he'd been down in Arabia. But then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter. Wouldn't that have been something? The two most, other than Jesus, the two most influential people, it appears, in the New Testament. I go up to Jerusalem to see Peter and remained with him 15 days. But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. Now concerning the things which I write to you, indeed before God, I do not lie. They know he doesn't lie. He had spent time, they knew him. They knew him. He established their congregation. But not only do I not lie before God, I don't lie before God. Afterward, I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was unknown by face to the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. But they were hearing only. All they were hearing, everywhere they turned. He who formerly persecuted us now preaches the faith, which he once tried to destroy. That was the word that was going out among them. Isn't this the guy that sent Uncle Samuel to prison? Isn't this the guy that was responsible for so-and-so being drug off from the family and sent to jail? Isn't this the guy that would send people into a town and wreak havoc on it? Wreaked havoc on the church. Verse 24, after all that, and they glorified God in me. That through the things that through me, through my life, through the things that I've changed, through the words of Jesus that I brought to them, this guy that used to persecute the church, they're now glorifying God through. I'm a conduit. I'm helping them to glorify God. Don't ever think of yourself, well, I'm only a such and such. What can I do for God? And how many of you persecuted the church? Was responsible for people being thrown in jail? I don't think none of us fit that category. He got to spend time with Peter. Wouldn't you have loved to have been a fly on the wall for that? Spent 15 days, over 2 weeks. Got to spend at least two Sunday worship services with him. Think of the things he learned. Think of the things he was encouraged to do from Peter. I would have just loved to see the interaction. He also faced the consequences of his past. Sometimes it's not fun to face. But you know what? With the right attitude, like Paul, we can face the negative things of our past, learn from it, repent, and go on to be better. A lot of people would kind of like to bury their head in the sand and not have to deal with it. It's only when you deal with it that you can overcome. It's only when you deal with it that you can go on to something better. You got to put it behind you like Paul did. Like Peter did. Here's two people that would go on to be the biggest influences of the New Testament. One persecuted the church. The other is denying in public that he even knew the guy. That he even knew Jesus. They would repent and go on to be the biggest forces for God, for Jesus of the New Testament. Spend some time. Take a few minutes this week. Read the rest of Galatians. And from what we've studied just today, it might shed a little bit of light on the rest of the letter that he wrote. Spend a little time in that this week. Like to encourage everybody to come back tonight. Dick is bringing the lesson tonight. Want to encourage you to come back Wednesday night. We're studying the book of John in our Wednesday night Bible class. The plan of salvation is on the bottom of your outline. I try to always include the plan of salvation. If you're not baptized, you're not saved. If you're not baptized properly, you're not saved. You have to hear the Word of God. You have to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, the Savior. You have to confess that belief before men. You have to repent of your sins. You have to be baptized. If you don't think you have to, Jesus says you do. Mark 16:16. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. Maybe Jesus didn't mean that. All I know is what he said in black and white. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. And that's the beginning. Then you've got to remain faithful for the rest of your life. If you need to put your Lord on in baptism, there's no better time than now. If you need to repent of sins in your life, there is no better time than now. If you need the prayers of the congregation, Stacy and I have asked recently for you to keep our son Bobby in your prayers. We continue to ask you to keep him in your prayers and offer him up to God for his health, for his spiritual well-being. We would appreciate that. If you have been searching for, maybe you've moved here recently, you're looking for a congregation to attach yourself to. If you're a baptized member of the Lord's church, you don't join us. You're already a member of the church. But if you would like to identify and work with us, worship with us, be put to work with us, we would love to have you. If you would like to identify with worshiping with us here, please either send a note forward or come forward yourself and identify with us. Whatever your need. If you would come forward while Kurt leads us in the invitation song, let your request be known and we will address those. Let us stand and sing. Kurt.